Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith Christian church here in Sacramento, California. Also the host of the program where each week we try to bring you a wide variety of guests to talk about this thing called ancient future Christian faith. One of my favoritest, if that's even a word, guests to come into the Ancient Future Faith studios is my friend, one of our elders. She's also the director of worship and liturgy at Epiclesis, Dr. Ellen Kohler. Hi, Ellen, and welcome.
Hi, Chris. It's wonderful to be back.
It's always nice to have you. I don't even remember how many times this is now, but it's always wonderful to have you here.
Oh, thanks.
You know, I thought I'm going to throw you a curveball today. Ellen showed up today with some materials about the topic that we thought we were going to be talking about, but I want to throw you a curveball. Is that okay?
Totally fine.
Well, I've had this on my mind. Occasionally, we get questions at Epiclesis about, okay, what in the world is an Epiclesis? And are you guys a church or maybe some other kind of social group? Or what does it mean to be an ancient future faith community? Stuff like that. You probably get those things too from time to time, yeah?
I get those questions from time to time.
So I thought it might be interesting for us to take one of these radio episodes, and they go by so quickly anyway, but just to hit a few of these things. And I want to pick your brains a little bit, Dr. Ellen Kohler.
Okay.
Do you feel brain picky today?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the questions that we get when folks come to visit us at Epiclesis.
Sounds good.
Okay. Right off the bat, one of the biggest ones is, what in the world is an Epiclesis? And I should back up and say that when we first were starting Epiclesis, we consulted with various, you know, authorities and read through, you know, so you want to start a church, you know, all these church starts for dummies and that kind of thing. And one of the things they always say, Ellen, is always make the name of the church something easy to pronounce that everybody can say, and there isn't, and they even said, if I'm remembering rightly, to kind of try to make it bland so that it kind of blends in and people don't have any trouble. And so it's like we went the opposite direction, Ellen.
Well, we went this direction because we really wanted the name of Epiclesis to say something about who we are.
Right.
And one thing that the name Epiclesis almost always gives us is an opening. Because if you say the name of our church is Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community, we usually get, what is Epiclesis? Or what does that mean? Anyway?
What in the world is that?
And you were very, very convinced from very early on that we ought to call our community Epiclesis.
Yeah, so we should just say what it is. First of all, Epiclesis is a Greek word. It's spelled E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S, Epiclesis. And it's a Greek theological term, which, by the way, always strikes me a little odd when pastors and theologians aren't quite familiar with the term either. But it's a fairly common theological term anyway, mm-hmm. a Greek term. And it simply means a prayer, or more precisely, a transforming prayer. Mm-hmm. And more particularly of all, it's the prayer that's said during the Great Thanksgiving or during the table, when we come around the table of the Lord, where we ask God to transform us and to transform this ordinary meal into something extraordinary. That's what an Epiclesis is. And Ellen, we named it that because mm-hmm. coming around the table is so important to our community, yeah?
That's right. We come around the table of the Lord every week. And the name Epiclesis is really says a lot about who we are. We really want the Lord to come and be amongst us, not just on the Sunday event, but as we go forth into the world to love and serve the Lord. And so that invocatory prayer, come and be with us, come and be in us and transform us as your body as we go forth into the world to love and serve you, really says who we want to be.
You know, folks, we really do believe that when we come around the table of the Lord, Jesus really does show up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. I can't quantify it. I don't know exactly how it works. And so much time and energy has been spent over the years with people arguing about exactly what are these elements and do they really become the body and blood of Christ? And at what point, if so, do they do that? And we've kind of put all that stuff aside, as did the early church, mm-hmm. Ellen, and just mm-hmm. say, I don't know what happens here, but I want to be here.
That's right. And we've seen so many amazing, miraculous things happen during that time of just lingering around the table of the Lord. We've seen relationships reconciled. We've seen people healed. We've seen people saved, actually come to make their statement of faith. I now believe in Jesus as my Savior. Just amazing things like that and so many more.
So if you come to Epiclesis, you're going to at least count on one thing to happen, and that is that we will come around the table of the Lord, and there will be communion every single week at Epiclesis. We should also say, before we go on to another one of the questions that we get, Ellen, that another part of coming around the table at Epiclesis each week also involves prayers for healing, anointing with oil, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. We call it lingering around the table.
Right, we linger around the table because once we have partaken in that covenant meal that Christ ordained for us to take and to remember him as often as we do it, then our hearts are so tender. It's like there's that saying that you like to recount to us from time to time. It's at the table where the veil between the here and now and the eternal thins to gossamer. Mm-hmm. There's something really special about partaking of the elements of the table and then understanding that we are part of the body of Christ and so are all these others who are around with us.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
To think that we are joining with the myriad of angels and archangels and cherubim and seraphim and all the saints who have come before mm-hmm. us, and that we agree with our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters that there's something about the power of the Holy Spirit that catches us up to participate with that when we're at table is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So why not pause there and take time to worship, take time to ask God for healing, to intercede for others and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. That's what we do, and it's very transformative.
You're listening to a conversation with Dr. Ellen Kohler. She's a friend of mine, one of our elders at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. She's also the director of worship and liturgy for our church. And we're talking today about questions that we get from time to time about Epiclesis and what in the world is an Epiclesis. Well, Ellen, we just answered that one. Epiclesis is a Greek term that means a transforming prayer, and most particularly the transforming prayer that is said when we come around the table of the Lord, because the table of the Lord is a central part of what we do each week at Epiclesis. But we should also say that Epiclesis is a church. Now, one of the other things, and I mentioned this a minute ago, that we had looked at what church planting or church growth strategies and things like that when we were first starting out with Epiclesis. One of the things they say is you always want to have the word church in the title so people understand that it's a church. Well, Ellen Kohler, we didn't do that.
We didn't do that. We intentionally chose the term community, an ancient future faith community, to say something specific in our name about who we are and how we think of ourselves and what we know that Christ is making us to become.
So when you hear community, that sounds what, like some sort of weird commune or cult or something like that? Why the word community? Let's dig into that a little deeper.
I think community says something to our culture that we live in, that in this early 21st century, many of us live virtual lives. I don't, but right. Many of us live virtual lives. And by that, I mean we have social media.
You mean you don't play Pokemon Go?
I do not play Pokemon Go.
I don't either.
But I read something the other day about Pokemon Go possibly being a kind of a pilgrimage, if you think of it in a certain way. I don't understand that.
Yeah, no,
I don't think I get that
one. For me.
All right, so we chose the term community, again, to say something really specific about who we are. We understand that as the body of Christ, God has called us to have community with one another in a mirrored way to the community that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit enjoy.
Now, what do you mean by that? Mirrored way.
You remember that in John 17, in Jesus' high priestly prayer, he prayed to the Father that we would all be one, just as he and the Father are one.
Mm-hmm.
And just prior to that, he's spent in the discourses in John 15 and 16, he's talked about the Holy Spirit and the place of the Holy Spirit within the Godhead and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how important that is to how we live out our lives as Christians and as Christ's body. And so he's teaching us that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have this wonderful community. They live in community. It's a synergistic three-in-one being. It's a mystery. It's one of those things that we don't understand with our minds, but God has called us to understand it with our hearts and our spirits and to embrace that God is three in one, three persons in one. And there's that relationship there. It's loving, it's dynamic, it's powerful, it's giving, it's ongoing, and all of those things say something about what true community is.
Yeah. What you're saying is, in a nutshell, is because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are a community, then if we hopefully reinforce the idea that we as a Christian church are also in community, we can begin to see a reflection of them in us and reinforce some of those communal aspects, yes?
Right. And it draws us into relationship with one another in important and significant, deep ways. For example, if we are willing to open ourselves up in our spiritual beings, that's opening up a place that we don't often want to go, especially in the here and now. Spirituality has a tendency to be thought of as either kind of a woo-woo thing or something that is totally private and it's just my own my own thing that I experience myself and I don't share that with others.
Right.
But we open ourselves up in community and we are reinforced in our love for God and our love for one another and our willingness to give up ourselves and to invest our lives in others.
That's beautifully said. In fact, that's a lot better said than I said it when I was talking with all of our elders about calling ourselves and intentionally calling ourselves a community. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you're looking for a community like that, I really want to encourage you to think about coming to Epiclesis. We're going to talk in a few minutes about some things that I think make Epiclesis unique, but I think right off the bat, that's one of them, don't you, Ellen, that we're at least attempting to reinforce this notion of community.
I absolutely think that's important. It's not to say that that doesn't exist in other churches.
Well, sure.
But I think the intentionality and the explicit nature of what we say about who we are is important. And that's also reinforcing to who we know we are as Christians and how we can go about living as Christ's body in the 6 days that we're not meeting together.
That's good stuff. Folks, you're listening to a conversation with Dr. Ellen Kohler. She's a friend of mine. She's an elder at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community here in Sacramento. She's also our director of worship and liturgy. And we're just having a conversation about some of the questions that we get occasionally about what in the world Epiclesis is all about. We've already established Epiclesis is a Greek term. More specifically, it is a prayer said at the Lord's table when we come around the table and have communion together. We are a Christian church. Although the word church doesn't appear in our title, it's not that we're ashamed of it. It's that we wanted to emphasize the word community, that we are living in a community that is a reflection of the community, hopefully, prayerfully, through the power of the Holy Spirit that is found in the Godhead. Ellen, another thing that I think we ought to enforce is, yes, we are a church. Yes, we are an evangelical church. We love the Lord Jesus. We say Jesus is Lord. We reaffirm those professions of basic Christian essential tenets every time we get together. But we're not any particular denomination. I think maybe that's something that people might want to hear as well. In fact, sometimes we call ourselves a pre-denominational church.
That's right. And the term pre-denominational works for us. I mean, it's another aspect, I think, of identification for us. We go back and, well, let's put it this way. One of Robert Weber's favorite phrases was, "The road to the future runs through the past."
Yep, I say it every time this broadcast signs off, too.
That's true, you do. And we look back to the New Testament church and the ancient church and all of our Christian forebears who have gone before for creeds, for prayers, for songs, for other kinds of texts that help us to understand who we are historically as Christ's body.
Yeah, so since we look back to the early church, mm-hmm. I'm fond of saying that we're pre-denominational. And that's not to say that we don't like denominations, but I think it's fair to say that denominational distinctives are falling to the wayside. And that's not entirely a bad thing. It does at least give us the opportunity to concentrate on the big essential tenets, the big chunks, as I call it, of orthodoxy that all Christians have believed mm-hmm. in all times and all places. So mm-hmm. this pre-denominational notion really appeals to me because there are little bits of several denominations, at least the stylistic aspects of denominations that you can find at Epiclesis, but we don't hold mm-hmm. to one particular denominational expression.
Right, there are a couple of phrases that come to mind. One is, in the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. The other thing that comes to mind is the phrase that C.S. Lewis uses in Mere Christianity.
What are you thinking?
Well, he says that all of Christianity is like a big house. But there's a main hall where we can all gather and we are all comfortable there. And then there are little rooms where we go off to, and that's where we live out our denominational lives, but the main hall is where we all come together in unity. And that, I think that also speaks to the pre-denominational idea.
Okay, if somebody came to our church on a Sunday morning, let's just talk a little bit about what they would see and experience. We don't have to get too far into the weeds because I want people just to come and check it out. But if you're looking for a Christian community that is authentic and robust, and where worship centers around the table of the Lord, I want you to think about coming to Epiclesis. Ellen, what kind of things are people going to see and experience when they show up at Epiclesis?
I think one of the first things that they will notice is that we're all talking to one another before service in our times of just getting ready to make the worship, as you often say. We are talking to one another and really engaging with one another about what our lives have been. I've been praying with you about this. How has that gone? There will be a lot of interaction, and then we will be called to come into our gathering place. And when we come into our space, mm-hmm. the first thing they will notice is there is a baptismal font.
Yeah, that right there, right when you walk in, is a baptismal font with water in it and everything. And the reason we do that is, of course, it harkens back to the ancient picture of baptism, and that baptism is, in fact, an entrance into the body of Christ. But it's also a wonderful opportunity as people come in and as they leave to mm-hmm. remember their baptisms.
The next thing that they will see as they walk in is the table of the Lord with the elements set.
Okay, now let's camp out there just for a second because that's pretty different. A lot of churches have communion tables, of course, but ours has been situated right in the center of the room. Mm-hmm. And all of the places where the congregation sits are in kind of like concentric circles around that, right? So we're facing one another, which can mm-hmm. be really intense, actually, but it's centered around the table, Ellen.
That's right. We can not only look at one another and see one another's eyes instead of one another's backs, but the more important thing is that our eyes are focused on the table, which is the high point of worship. Mm-hmm. And so throughout all of the gathering activities and our songs and our prayers of confession and our profession of faith and our time of offering and the teaching, there is the table of the Lord in the center as the high point of worship. We know we're going toward that.
So folks are going to see a baptismal font. They're going to see the table of the Lord. You talked about confession and you talked about profession of faith. It's true to say that our church is liturgical in the very best sense of the word, but it's also spontaneous and energetic. And some people describe that as three stream, where charismatic and liturgical and evangelical come together. Mm-hmm. But I say you just got to come experience it, really.
One of the things that people love the most about Epiclesis is that we are a very interactive, participatory fellowship.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because since liturgy means actually the work of the mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. folks and all kinds of folks during the service itself have an opportunity to lead and or to read or to interact in some sort of way with the body, all kinds of really, truly participative things in our worship service.
And we do that from our places within the congregation, within those concentric circles where we're seated.
Right.
As you had mentioned before. Another thing that I think folks would find different is that the musical instruments are a part of this circle.
Oh, I neglected even to say that because it's so obvious to me, but that might be a real surprise to some people. Yeah, you're saying the instruments are not up on the stage.
That's
and they're
correct.
Not featured in some sort of concert kind of way, right?
That's right, because we're all worshiping together
So the instrumental group is also part of the circle, and it's as if music and worship is coming from, well, it is, all of the people present.
That's right. It is a way for all of us to feel like we are making music and worshiping and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making music with thanksgiving in our hearts to the Lord all together.
You know, I probably should also mention that the teaching at Epiclesis is a little different than the average bear. I tend to teach in such a way and preach in such a way that even that particular time in the service is also participative. And if people were going to listen to one of the sermons in our resources page at epiclesis.org, it might not seem this way because it's been edited out because you can't really hear what people are saying. But I often call upon people to say, hey, what do you see in this particular verse? Or what's your experience in this particular way? And even teaching itself is participative, yes?
That's right. And the wonderful thing about that is not only that it's participative and that we can ask questions if we have them and that we know that we can make comments and share one with another.
One final thing that strikes me about what we do at Epiclesis that I think people would find refreshing is we always, and we mentioned it before, have some time to linger around the table mm-hmm. after communion is finished. But sometimes, as the Spirit leads, that is an extended period of worship where people come for prayer, mm-hmm. for being anointed with oil. It's a time for spontaneous singing, which is really interesting if you've never experienced that before, folks. I'd love to have you come see what you think about that. But it really is a beautiful time of lingering around the table, and that's a regular feature of worship at Epiclesis.
It's again one of those that is an identifying characteristic, I think, of Epiclesis. One of the things that blesses me so much about that is how much we learn from one another in those times. Because if someone is praying, for example, their prayers will often include scripture. Mm-hmm. Their prayers will sometimes include word pictures to help explain the prayer or the inspiration behind it. Sometimes there are words from the Lord. People get up and give not only scriptures, but encouragements and admonitions from the Lord. It's a time really that we learn from and minister to one another because we're community.
Yeah, because we are community. Well said. It really just needs to be experienced, Ellen. So Epiclesis means a transforming prayer. We call ourselves an ancient future faith community on purpose to emphasize that we are to be a community, not only on Sunday, but through the week. We're a Jesus-centered, Bible-believing, evangelical, pre-denominational church. We come around the table every single week. We pray for one another. We experience worship in a beautiful way. Worship is central at Epiclesis. And we want people to come experience it, don't we, Ellen?
Come, you're loved.
Well, I remember Bob Weber also saying one time that surely one of the hallmarks of a vibrant, authentic Christian community is that the Holy Spirit is present in hospitality. And I mm-hmm. think people always talk about how hospitable Epiclesis is. Goodness, Ellen, we didn't even get to touch on art and artistic expressions, which are important to us as a community as well. Several other elements that are important to us as a church, we didn't even get to touch on those. Mm-hmm. But the important message for today, I think, is come worship with us. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 at the corner of Winding Way in Pasadena, and the address is 4600 Winding Way. It's in the chapel of the Carmichael Seventh-day Adventist Church. There are lots of signs everywhere. You can't miss it. And we'd love to have people come visit us.
Yes, if that kind of community appeals to you and is intriguing to you, or you're just really curious, come and join us on Sundays.
Yeah, you'd be warmly welcome. My guest today has been Dr. Ellen Kohler. Always a pleasure, Ellen, to have you with us. Thank you so much for dropping by.
You're welcome. Thanks again for asking me.
And we've been talking about Epiclesis, the church in Sacramento, California. We'd love to have you come try us out. You can always learn more by zipping over to the website. It's epiclesis.org. That's Epiclesis.org. Find out what we believe, what worship is like. Take a look at the website. But the best thing, of course, again, is just to come worship with us at 10:30 on Sundays. Until we gather again for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want to remind you, as I often do on this program, that surely the road to our evangelical future runs through our ancient Christian past. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience ancient future faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi folks, it's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis, or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome. As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.